Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's another episode of the Mark Order Podcast. For right now, it's me, Ryan, and I am joined, as always, by my amigo, Asian Joe. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well, Ryan. How are you?
Not too bad. Like I said, for right now, it's just the two of us. Kate should be joining us. She's Kating it up, which... she has a legitimate excuse, but I'm not going to let her have it. So she's just big timing us as she does. But otherwise, you know, doing well. Doing a hard cut on the music as I made that my new gimmick. Good evening, Scott. But yeah, just hanging out on a Wednesday. Anything new in your life?
You know, not really. I collided on Saturday for my first time. So that was...
Oh, that's right. You did a physical collision.
I did. I collided hard. It was
you
good.
Did. You hit hard. And you were on. You made camera. We saw you.
A little fuzzy, but yeah.
It counts. Wow. Hello, Lieutenant Colonel Photo. Hey, Eric, and hello, Tim McFall. So yeah, no, I mean that was good. That's why we didn't collide. Well, actually, it was Kate's fault. I told you it's Kate's fault when we don't do things. So.
Not too bad. I really want to try to jump into the watch along live from the arena. I'm really trying to.
We don't need everyone to hate us. Hey, Kylie. Hey, Big G. Yeah, we don't need the world to hate us. Two LT. She is big timing us. She is showing up, but she's just going to show up late because is what she does. Probably have on like big sunglasses and like, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. CEO right. Theme starts playing. CEO.
How was your weekend? What'd you do up until tonight?
Nothing. I'm trying to think. There was a pause because I legitimately didn't remember what I did. Some family get togethers for random birthdays and graduations and stuff. Scott, we will not discuss the Celtics game. I am sorry. I just can't bear that pain.
That's the one thing that Ryan and I can handshake meme over is, you know, you being a Sixers fan, me being a Knicks fan. Like, we're not going to talk about Boston.
No, screw them. But yeah, no, I mean, so I didn't really do anything. I didn't collide. I didn't get to go to collision. Now, I got to ask, since you were there, what was the audience like? That you know, it was a smaller venue. It was a little more intimate. What'd you think?
You know, I thought it was actually pretty good. I was a little bit nervous the day of, kind of tracking to see how the ticket distribution was going, and I think it got closer to that 3,000 number by the time the show started. It's your typical small, you know, arena setup where half of it's obviously blocked off. On the hard camera side, but I thought the crowd in general was really lively. I just wasn't quite sure what to expect since it was the first time AEW was in this area.
Yeah, well, that's good though. I mean, think they should go back. I think they should go more to those middle states.
I mean, you know, when Tony did promise to come back when he did his little spiel between, you know, so he would never say something and not know all through on it.
If you believe that. Oh boy, the things I can tell you.
But no, I thought the crowd was even pretty good in the ROH tapings afterwards. I thought they were pretty into it then as well. So hopefully it translated well on TV.
It did. I think for an intimate size, it did well. It was you know, the hey pieces, they're doing all the smaller venues now, which is smart, instead of doing the big venues and cutting them down by 7,000 to 10,000. It's smart. Just do a smaller venue. Have it feel alive. And also, you know, you get crowds that don't get it a lot, which is, sorry, Scott was on. I'll acknowledge it, Scott. I don't know why ESPN went with the Mavs in six. It was the dumbest call of all time. Everyone knew the Celtics were going to win this, but, I think you, it's not the, it's the theory of like when they go over to Europe, obviously the size of crowds are different, but when like the WWE or AEW goes to Europe, you get a livelier crowd. Cause if you don't see it all the time, you just, it's better, you know, it instead of, well, we've been to New Jersey 8 times in 8 months. It's like, well, guys, I can only give you so much energy, you know, and you get a little pickier and you get a little whatever. They were in Iowa tonight, mm-hmm. which may or may not have influenced my background of choice. I felt it appropriate, you know, that if you build it, they will come. But it seemed good tonight in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Iowa did pretty well with their wrestling crowds.
I mean, I gotta believe that the Midwest of this country likes wrestling. It just feels like the place that would. Tim, you say they need to stop running non-wrestling cities in Canada. What are the non-wrestling cities in Canada? I'm not being sarcastic. I really legitimately don't know. Are we talking solely? I couldn't even tell you. I don't know the non-wrestling cities in Canada. I don't, you know.
I'm trying to think of the cities that usually run in Canada. I feel like most of them, you know, are somewhat wrestling cities. But I'm not knowing of all things Canada.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, me neither. Now Scott's trying to get under my skin with the Phillies tonight, but he doesn't realize that that doesn't bother me as much because the Phillies are still one of the top teams in baseball, so I can live with that. Doesn't hurt. Winnipeg only pops for Winnipeggers. Yeah, but they have two of the biggest Winnipeggers on their roster. So like,
Don Callis.
Three of the biggest Winnipeggers on their roster. So you're kind of locked into that. You know, do they hit the southern states a lot? I feel besides Florida, do they hit the southern states a lot?
I don't feel like they've gone to many places like in Mississippi or Alabama or.
Yeah, like I feel like those southern states would be like prime territory for, you know. Because southern wrestling was such a big deal, it carried the, you know, mm-hmm.
yeah,
carried it for so long. So I'll tell you what, 2LT, when the Yankees perform in the playoffs, we can talk. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to think that like they leave these markets. Maybe for a while, I think they were trying to hit the big markets to be like, hey, but I think that's a poor strategy. If you can get a good audience in Alabama and Mississippi, I'm quoting a piece here, Alabama, Mississippi, or Louisiana, why wouldn't you go there? You get a good building, you're building it up. You can't just rely on the same six markets.
Yeah.
You oversaturate it. And that's not how you grow. Like, that's not how you grow a fan base. Like, you go to some of these southern places that may, may not get it as often, or they probably don't get WWE that often. They may make AEW like their wrestling company if you come a little bit more and are like, hey, we're here for you. I mean, you're running two shows a week. You can do it.
Like you said, if they scale back from doing some of the larger arenas in the larger cities and, you know, go to these smaller places, smaller venues, maybe it costs them a little bit less in some areas to run shows, something there, to kind of build that groundswell of support from the smaller markets. And then, you know, hopefully all the little community piece by piece will add up to a broader audience. So,
yeah, I mean, it just makes more sense to me. Like you go to these small markets and you do like, I just feel like, okay, you guys over in, you know, the Nebraska area, you Huskers, you know, you guys don't get wrestling a lot, if ever.
We get WWE a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah, like once or twice a year. Like SmackDown going to be here. SmackDown, I think, can come back here in like July 19th.
Oh, they really good. Where, Omaha?
Yeah. Yeah, they come here. We had Raw last fall here.
Yeah, I mean, okay, maybe a little different. I didn't think you guys got that often, but even still, that's still primary market where you, if you run it even, you know, I hate this. I don't want to saturate these markets either, but if you're willing to run it like a Dynamite one month and then a Collision later month down the road, you have a chance of bringing guys in and make it. We're talking business, and I know this is totally unrelated to Dynamite, but make it cheap, not cheap, but make it affordable too. Allow it to be a family thing. If you get those families coming in and you get the people, like, you're going to lock it in. I don't, it's been the weirdest. I'm not an expert on like a selling wrestling, but I do know that it's very expensive and they were going to the same markets over and over and they were seeing a decline in attendance. Maybe try something new. Like, because WWE for years, what they would do is they'd run the house shows.
Mm-hmm.
So like they don't go to Alabama. So it's like, or wherever they'll throw a house show down there and be like, yeah, we could, or like upstate New York where they don't get as big of a market, throw a house show so that, you know, that's how they get people to go there. Jesse, I could say hi to you because Kate's not here yet, but,
hi, Jesse.
But since AEW doesn't really run house shows, which is fine, it makes no sense to run house shows for them. You have to put your actual shows there. But when you have two a week, you have the time and the money to do it.
Yeah. I think we can run promotion, Ryan.
Yeah.
If we build it, they'll come.
I think, all right, there you go. That's exactly. We'll build it outside. We'll take over a cornfield. And we'll build, you know, we'll build an outside ring. And yeah, that's what we'll do. I like sometimes, I haven't been to one, but I like the look of outside indie wrestling shows. Not all the time. Some of them look really bad. But the ones that do it nicely, I just think it's a cool atmosphere. Now, you have to have the weather for it. Like, we're already in the weather of Jersey where you couldn't do that. So, you know.
We just had a small, or one of the local independent promotions here in Omaha just ran a little outdoor event over the weekend in one of the suburbs here in Omaha during their kind of, you know, that community's celebration. Like, it's Elkhorn Days 2024. And, you know, part of the festival was that Magnum Wrestling was having an event out there. So they had about 8 or 10 matches on a card and they wrestled outside. It was a nice little setup for them.
Oh, that's what I like. That's a nice, Pieces is saying in Texas, and the idea of an outside wrestling show now filled him with fear but sadness. Well, that's Jersey now. You have about 2 weeks in Jersey where you can pull it off, where you have like 65 to 70 degree days, and like it's nice. We're now in we've now ranging where any given day might be okay, but then you could be 90 degrees the next. Like, you don't know where you're at, and then it gets too hot. So, you know, that's just me being a little, whatever about it. I was thinking of building it outside for our Field of Dreams scenario, and made me think I've liked some of that. I know they do them at fairgrounds and stuff, so they're outside enough when there's that's another thing. Like, all these like county fairs and all used to always have wrestling. Well, those are mostly, that's like a Midwest thing.
Yep.
I think Jersey has one, like has a fair somewhere.
I feel like
everyone has- But it's not a thing. I'm trying to think. Was there any news this week? Oh, there was. I have, since it's out there, the Grizzled Young Vets are at least in talks with AEW. No word on like what would actually happen, but I think that's pretty cool, especially now that, well, this is related. FTR, unfortunately, Dax is going to be out for an undisclosed amount of time because he really messed up his back in the ladder match, which really sucks. So you need another tag team. They have a lot of great tag teams there, but a spot opened up, and there's no better time than now to take advantage of that. Also related, as Tim McFall just put in the chat, Maximum Male Models, or MXM as they go by now, they're going to be at the show Saturday. Not sure if the reports aren't sure if they're what their whole plan is there, like if it's a one-off, if they're even like what any of the stuff is. What are your thoughts on the Grizzled Young Vets and possibility of MXM?
Grizzled Young Vets makes sense. I mean, obviously, since they've been in AEW now a little bit, they've had a match or two, right? So I think at least people know of them from whether it's from NXT's audience or AEW's audience. So that makes sense to me, as long as there's a concerted effort to really focus on the tag teams now going forward, which I'm hoping there is now with the Bucks and, you know, getting the title off of them eventually. Like you said, now the FCR is sidelined for a little bit. You need some more depth in that division. So I'm all for that. And Maximum Male Models will be... So they're going to be at the show. They're going to be at Collision?
Yeah. Okay. They're going to be Collados.
Hey, my initial gut instinct says they're more of a ROH type of tag team. But...
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. Mostly because I feel like, and it really sucks to say this, but like AEW has been kind of like letting me down with the tag stuff. They have great teams. It's just not being pushed as much. Now, Tim and Paul saying they feel like a TNA team. Absolutely. They have the personality and the energy for TNA. I can't say that would be a bad fit at all.
I'm trying to think in AEW, Kevin, you have obviously the Acclaimed kind of over the top tag team. You have the Bang Bang Gang when they're a tag team and not a trio. They're kind of over the top. I'm trying to think of some other ones. So I feel like they have plenty of like kind of zany tag teams in AEW already.
Yeah, I mean, they need to rebuild the tag division though, in terms of like, and again, it's not talent related. They have top, you named some of the tags they have there that are a little over the top, but even the ones that aren't, like Top Flight,
Private Party now.
Private Party, what's the Iron Savages, they have more and I'm blanking and I really hate that I'm blanking. Oh, Dark Order, you could put a tag or a trio on that. They're more of a trio now, but still you can do a tag and a trio. Mm-hmm. They have tags. They just don't. Hook and Joe, I don't think that's long for this world, but they're there. They have these tag teams. They're just not. And that's where trios comes into. Again, you could be doing a lot of these things all together. And it doesn't take much. And this is, I will never pretend to be. I'm not one like I'm not one of these people who believes I could book wrestling better than the people who book it. I couldn't. I'd be terrible at it. I'd want everyone to win and no one to lose. But one thing I know from just being an avid book reader, TV watcher, and wrestler watcher is one simple thing. If you were to just, you don't have to put them on every week, but if you take a team like Dark Order and you say, all right, you guys are on Collision this week versus the Iron Savages, I'm just naming it, and you're going to have a trios match and something happens. And it start, or you have a tag match to start and something happens. Maybe take a week or so off and then you do it again. But this time it's a singles match or something. Or like, and then you do a couple interviews and you could spread that out over the course of weeks and months. And that's random. You could spread that out over the course of weeks and months. And it would be a fun feud and it would get them used. And there was a way for them to get over when they're not being heavily featured, and you're building up natural opponents, challengers for your belts. That's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know if you have a different feel to it.
No, I get where you're coming from. Like much like a match, there should be a pace to a match, right? When you book it out. So I feel like when it comes to the wrestlers, there should be a pace as far as their appearance on TV, whether, like you said, they're in the ring action or they do a pre-record backstage segments or vignettes or something like that. Just to kind of have it a little bit more equitable due to that size of a roster. And you can showcase a lot more stories that way too. So yeah,
it just seems to me like it would get things, and if one heated up, then you could feature them a lot more. Like, you always have the ability to ramp it up, but it just seems silly if not, you have these guys just kind of sitting around. It's like putting them on one show once every other week does not hurt your show at all. And it will eventually, hell, you have Rampage too. I forgot about Rampage. You could be featuring these things on Rampage, and if they build into Collision or Dynamite, you'd be fine. Like, you can do it, will work. So don't think there was any other news and or notes. I'm looking just to make sure I'm not missing any. Well, actually, there is. How could I forget? No, we talked about it last week. Never mind. It was Ricochet, but we talked about that last week. That he's getting out of his contract. Was he out of his contract? Was he asking out of his contract last week? Or did we just know his contract was coming up?
Well, the initial reports were that he notified officials that he wasn't going to resign, I don't think. He was giving notification, hey, I'm going to leave the company after my contract ends.
And now they wrote him off TV. So looks like that is the way it's going. I think he's obviously very talented. AEW is very full, but at the same point, I don't know how you wouldn't bring him in. A guy who could do the things he can do. You just bring him in and let him work. I think you have, right now you have 5 hours of TV. You might end up with six at some point, but right now you have 5 hours of TV. You should be able to work in more wrestlers than you are. Like, that's always what annoys me. Like, you can work more in, but we'll see. All right, we're going to take our commercial break. But hopefully Kate will be here by the time we get back. If not, I'm going to continue to make fun of her. So I'm going to put on a commercial overlay. Please support these great shows on the Shining Wizards Network, of which we are a part. And we will be back after these messages.
Thank every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to the Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is the Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events, brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones, too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rowe.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJN. I'm talking Jax. I'm talking Hasbro's. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rowe.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rowe. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster.
I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rope podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Nards plows. I like Nards plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. It's a podcast for two men. Two men, Duke Bags, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport. All right. And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Bags? Oklahoma.
Once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Oh, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke in the back with the boys? Piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing.
It's, you got a slight one in there?
You're a man. You're a man. You're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there.
A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, we are back and still no Kate, so I will delay just a few more seconds while I say, hey, we rule. We know this. You know this. That's why you're listening or watching and listening. So we rule, and we think you should support us. And there's a couple ways you can do that. One, follow us on all socials at MarkOrderPod. Two, like and subscribe to whichever platform you're watching or listening to this on. Three, though, is a monetary way. And you can do that by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/MarkOrderPod. And at that place, you will find four magnificent t-shirts. If you find more than four, something happened. But there should be four magnificent t-shirts. One with our logo and name on the front. One with just our name on the front. One with our name on the front, logo on the back. And then one with a pocket thing and a logo on the back. That's how I describe them because I clearly just wear plain shirts. But you go to ProWrestlingTees.com/MarkOrderPod. Or if that's difficult for you, because it is for me, I go to our socials and I find our link tree and I click our link tree. And in our link tree is the store. And you click that link and you go here and there you are. And if you do that, it would just be some money for us, which would be nice. 2LT wears his every Wednesday and he looks stunning. So, you know, Joe had his on when he went to Collision on Saturday and he made it on TV, but he is the gray variant. Joe was an early adopter, got the gray variant. You can get them as a V-neck too. I did not know that. Things you don't know. But yeah, please buy a t-shirt. That would be wonderful. Okay. No, Kate. Looks like Ryan's running the show and he did not know he'd be doing that. All righty then.
But Brian, we get to do the fun scale tonight.
I know. She better come on for this because, like, so for those wondering what the hell Joe's talking about, because, and I am one of them, as those who listen and watch the show know, I apparently have a catchphrase, which was the match was a lot of fun. And it's what I truly believe for most matches. But we've developed the fun scale. Now, I originally was doing them out of fun. So we went one fun out of five or five funs out of five or one fun out of five, that type of deal. Joe has reworked the fun scale. What is this new fun scale?
So yeah, I took Creative Freedom and there are four levels of fun. Four being the most, one being the least. And I will say three is it was a lot of fun. Four is like, no, you can't control yourself levels of fun. Just to give you an idea of the fun stuff. Okay. I also have a not fun in case we don't want to have any fun. If there's a segment that we all hate.
Okay. Well, and that's enough for now. I'm sure there's going to be some representation of these funds, but yes. let us begin with the opening segment. The opening segment, the show opens with Swerve Strickland coming out. He does his talk and he hypes up the crowd and he says Forbidden Door is going to be awesome. He starts hyping up Ospreay, basically trying to hype up his match. It's not long until he's interrupted by the Elite, specifically Okada at first, telling him to stop talking, and then he calls him a bitch. Okada really is big on the bitch word right now. I again want to go back, and I'm not going to dedicate my life to that, I have too much going on, but if I did have the time, I really want to know when bitch became the wrestling word, because I don't feel like it was in the 90s.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's sometimes early 2000s, 2005, 2010, in that range.
I feel like it was, I know this is going to sound weird, but I feel like it was a PG era thing. And I feel like the reason I say that is I feel like they couldn't do or say the other things they were doing or saying. And so bitch became their oh word. So that's just my, again, someone please, if you know the actual answer, please tell me. I would love to know. So anyway, Okada calls him a bitch, and then the EVP start talking. And they basically are like, hey, we laid waste to half this roster. So Pieces brings up a question, my theory. Bitch, I don't know if bitch should be considered PG, but it definitely never gets bleeped. And it never got bleeped on WWE as far as I can remember.
Yeah, it's probably one of those words where kind of like bitch and ass, like when it kind of slowly integrates some curse words that those were the ones deemed okay to use.
But it gets through the PG censor, which is why I was saying that. Like it was the dirty words you could use because you couldn't call things. You couldn't say other words. What'd you say?
Maybe it's because, you know, an ass is a donkey, a bitch is a dog. So like maybe because they have a literal meaning behind them. There's a loophole. Yeah,
That might not be bad. So the EVP say they've laid waste to half the roster. Half the roster is gone because they've hurt them. Playing up basically Eddie Kingston. They broke Eddie Kingston's knee. They didn't actually specifically shout out Dax as far as I could tell, but I'm surprised on that. But like, you know, you have Eddie Kingston out, you have Dax out. You had Tony Khan laid up for a while. So you have these injuries. They then say, but we're not done. We didn't just beat Team AEW. No, no, no. We're going to have the most violent match in AEW history. Blood and guts. So we're going to have a blood and guts match. However, as we all are aware, a blood and guts match has five per side. And the Elite only has four. So believe it or not, George isn't at home. They invited Swerve onto their team. They said, hey, be our fifth. We'll even give you new shoes. You know, join our team. Basically, they're trying to bribe him because they know how good Swerve is. Swerve takes the shoes, goes, I'm not a size 9, hands them to Nana, and basically says, like, no, I'm not doing this. And then Nana throws the shoes in the crowd, which is really funny because he didn't even turn around. He just, threw them. And then the Elite go, okay, well, we've told you we keep putting everyone on the injury list. And they go like they're gonna attack Swerve when the Acclaim's music hits. And they come out and make the save. However, before a big brawl can break out, Christopher Daniels comes out and says, whoa, 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 we got a show here. We got a show. In fact, we have a match next. And it's a TNT ladder match qualifying match. It's you, Jack Perry, against, and then Dustin Rhodes come out. And we will lead into that match. Now, I want your overall thoughts on this segment, and then you can ask me my fun thing. But I really need a corporate hierarchy chart on this, because like, what Christopher Daniels say outrank what the EVP say? Because the EVPs have been making a lot of decisions when you know Tony Khan is there. Like, who is making whose decisions outrank whose? I need that chart. Maybe it's just a what if scenario chart. Like, does it pertain to this? Then you go this route. Does it pertain to this? Then you go that route. Because I just need to know. Tell me, baby girl, because I need to know.
That's fair, because I mean, Tony did appoint him as interim. He's not even like a full fledged EVP, so he's interim. You would think that would be lesser than, you know, Matthew Nicholas, in my book.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a very interesting thing.
Unless Daniels is acting like as Tony Khan's official proxy.
He is speaking for TK.
Yeah, so then I feel like he should have had a different title then.
But also, like, they have made decisions that TK could have overruled many times over, and TK hasn't. So he's kind of been letting them do their thing. I don't understand. Give me the hierarchy, damn it. What did you think of the segment otherwise?
There was a lot going on in this segment, and a lot that was set up for the immediate future, and some stuff maybe set up for a month or so out. I thought Swerve did a nice job coming out here and kind of setting the table. You know, he did his build with Ospreay that kind of booked in at the end of the night. So that was nice to have that set out there. And then he moved on to the EVP issue. So you know there's going to be something going on with them. Now it looks like he'll probably be on the opposing team at Blood and a Blood and Guts match against them, most likely. And then, yeah, just I wasn't expecting the Blood and Guts announcement to be mentioned this soon. I thought we were looking at, you know, a couple months, maybe like All In, All Out, you know. But we learned that it's coming up sooner than I thought. And I guess that kind of makes sense of why they made the announcement or the challenge tonight. So I'm sure we'll have a month and a half long build of who's going to fill out what team.
Yeah, it seems like in an effort to not drag the story out, they're rushing through it. Like they didn't find a healthy balance there where you could say like, all right, we've some stories we take too long. This one we're going to speed up. It's just too fast. Like you have more meat on the bone. And 2LT's right. It's better that Daniels comes out than TK. And I agree, because Daniels actually knows how to talk and he could take a bump if he needs to. Like, there's a whole lot there. I will say we forgot one team in our discussion of new tag teams earlier, which Motor City Machine Guns are coming, apparently, still apparently. So there's always them, too. All right. Do you have any questions for me?
Well, before I ask you my question, the one thing I think that would have helped the EVPs is they should have done their ask of Swerve in the form of a promposal. I feel like they should have gone all out and really tried to woo him.
But they should know to go all out. Like, that's their thing.
So, yes, Ryan, yes. This segment, according to our new four levels of fun, what would you... Where's your fun at on the four levels?
You call this a two-funner?
Two-funner? So...
I didn't like the Acclaim making the suit.
That's level two of fun on the fun scale. Jesus
Christ. Fuck you, Joe.
So for those who are listening and not watching, it's basically the fun scale is basically like a pain scale. So you get the full effect of what fun looks like on Ryan's face in an image, and then a little description of what the level two fun is. So for this one, level two is an incredible amount of fun.
Hold on, I gotta think. All right, because do you have a zero? Do you have the negative fun on anything
tonight? I have no fun.
No, but do you have any segment tonight ranked as no fun that you can remember?
I thought TV time was gonna get there, but I had a little fun.
All right, so let's just say the Acclaim making the save is a no fun. Let's just say that for the sake of for.
You want to see what no fun looks like?
Yeah, because I don't think it'll get used otherwise. I was like, did I give you? I should have given you a cry face. That's my fault.
I mainly made this in case Kate needed to use it for something.
Okay, that's fair. She is the...
More gripes.
Okay. All right, we move on. Goddamn it. To the natural Dustin Rhodes versus the scapegoat Jack Perry in their TNT qualifying match. There was a lot of back and forth in this. There was at one point they're outside and Dustin pulls up the padding and suplexes Jack Perry right onto it. Perry took advantage of the exposed concrete though and spiked Dustin Rhodes back at later in the match. Perry hits a low blow. And then he wins with a running knee. That's basically the outline of this match. Two questions. Well, one question, then your thoughts. Why wasn't Perry in gear? Didn't he know he had a match tonight? And two, he may not have known he'd added that quick, but he knew he had a match tonight. And two, what did you think of the match?
I think him being the heel, you don't dress for the occasion. You dress for when you think you're supposed to have the match. And then, you know, Daniels came out and threw a wrench in the plans, right? So that's how I was playing in my head. The match itself, I thought, was solid. I think giving Dustin that Mike timeline collision to help set this up a little bit helped. Otherwise, I would have thought, why are we doing this match of all matches? But I kind of like the idea of him, you know, the sands and the hourglass is running out for him as far as title opportunities. So I think him being this was a good idea, just, you know, to give him a couple last tries at one. But it wasn't really a wrestling match. I felt like it was just mainly just a brawl, and, like, you know, Dustin bleeds and Jack Perry had gotten a little bit more, you know, hardcore, or not so much wrestler focused anymore. So I don't know. I don't know how to really base the match off of that, but it was good for what it was.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, for me, again, you've totally fucked me up with the new scale because I got to rethink this now. I'm going to say this was a 2 out of 4 funner.
Another 2?
It's an excitable amount of fun.
Mm-hmm.
While acknowledging is the reason this is a fun scale is they're always fun. Like, I'm always having a good time.
Yes.
And I'm basing that on because after this match, what did you think? Do you agree with the 2?
Yeah, 2's fair for me.
Okay. Sorry, I know I'm hogging it, but I want to make the prediction so you can surprise me with what I see. The reason is because I'm going to have a 4 out of 4 fun, and it is what happens next. It is Renee Paquette interviewing Kyle O'Reilly, Orange Cassidy, and Mark Briscoe. And Kyle says his piece. Orange says a little bit of a piece. Kyle says his piece. Orange says, like, I couldn't trust anyone, but now, like, I have one person I know has my back, and it's Willow. And then Kyle says his piece of, like, how they're going to get along. And then Mark Briscoe just goes on this fucking rant. And it is, I'm not even going to try to quote it. It's like he's, like, talking about rearview mirrors, and he said conglomeration, I think, at some point. And he just, Orange is the man with his hands in the pockets who will also rock it or something. He just, and Kyle O'Reilly's reacting behind him, like, what are we going through? And then when he walks off, Kyle O'Reilly's like losing his mind at what this was. I mean, even Willow's kind of reacting. Like, no, it was the most unhinged in the best way segment. So for me, this is a 4 out of 4 fun.
A 4 out of 4?
Yeah. I don't know if that's fair for me, but okay, I get it. Where would you rank the funness on this, and what did you believe?
My fun is basically based off of Kyle O'Reilly's facial reactions to what Mark was saying. And I don't know why we got this, like, unhinged Briscoe turned up to 11 tonight, but it was fun. And yeah, as I said, seeing Kyle O'Reilly's facial responses in the background maybe a 3 out of 4 for me for fun.
Hold on, do we have to adjust the fun scale that's on the screen then?
So that's basically, that's your a lot of fun.
I've now seen, oh no, there's still one fun missing. And that is going to, I know where we're going to apply that one fun.
Yeah, we haven't got one yet, but
yeah. I know.
You were 4, I was 3. That's a good dose of fun for that segment.
Jesus Christ. Okay. We go on to Rouge versus Dion Russman. Rouge just beat the hell out of him. What would you say?
The iceberg.
The iceberg?
Yeah, great.
Roy DeHead? Iceberg. Right ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's what's on his trunk. I think you go by the iceberg.
Okay. Well, I mean, fair enough. The iceberg, Dion Russman against Rush. The iceberg gets destroyed in several minutes of just being beat down. My nephew's talking trash to me because he's going to Ireland tomorrow and I'm not. I'm getting text messages from I'm getting text messages from my nephew talking trash to me. So post-match, Roosh grabs. I'm not going to even ask your opinion on the match. The match is what the match is. Squash. But afterwards, Roosh grabs the mic and starts to talk. Does a little more of that anti-American stuff, which is just not Roosh. I was okay. Like, I didn't love it, but I was okay with the first week just to establish, like, hey, he is the bad guy. Because he was really over with fans. But it's just not a good heel for him. His heel is just better off, like, I hate to say it, he kind of has the old Max heel, which is like, I'm just better than you. Like, that's a much better Rouge. And he's beating up the iceberg while he's doing this. And then MJF's music hits and he comes out. And they brawl in the ring. And they brawl on the ringside. And they brawl through the crowd. And they brawl to the back. And there's a table. And there's a trash can. And then finally the locker room comes out and separates them. What we find out is that next week, you're going to have one-on-one with no commercials to open the show. MJF versus Rush. So, Joel, what did you think of this?
I have mixed thoughts because I get the fact that you want to put Rush on television and get, you know, heat him up a little bit, get him the win, make him look dominant and violent. I agree with you that I didn't care for the weird heel portion of, you know, being weak Americans and all that stuff. I don't think he needs to go that type of heel persona. I think his argument about being disrespected and not having the pomp and circumstance when he came back from injury and, you know, not being treated like the star he is, I think that works well enough in this feud. And so I think maybe, I don't know if a match is necessary. I think you could achieve this in a backstage segment or something where you have Max or him talking and one or the other jumps the other. And then you have this, you know, Peter Griffin chicken fight that goes through the, you know, the backstage area and the crowd. So I'm just sad that, like, you know, I feel like Rush is going to take a loss, which I'm not a big fan of him taking a loss in this match, but yeah, I just mixed feelings about things here.
He's absolutely taking the loss.
Yeah.
Couple things in the chat. One from last match from Scott. I think Dustin might just bleed at this point. I don't even know if he's forcing it. I just think his head might just split open every time he wrestles. Tissue paper skin. I don't know if they put a different strap on the ROH world title. Could not tell you. 2LT also hates the You People promo on board. And MJF will have the club of Baby Seal to not be cheered at this point. Agreed across the board. Rush is going to lose. Like, let's just establish that. He's not. It's MJF. I mean, like, if it was anyone else, there might be a shot, but it's MJF. MJF's winning. And it's MJF's return feud. It's not even like it's not even a three feuds in type deal or a side feud to his main feud. This is his return feud. So, I mean, I'm glad Rush is in it because you're putting Rush in with your biggest guy on his return and putting them on level to each other, but he's going to lose. All that said, though, I still think this was the brawl was a good 2 out of 4 fun for me.
2 out of 4, level 2. All right.
Level 2. I'm really having to rework my funds here.
I mean, your funds are your funds. I'm not going to take them away from you, but I'm going to go ahead and buy
it. Like, I was doing them out of a star, but now knowing 4 is the top, what might have been a 3.5 is now like a 2. Like, I've had to rework that math. Also, if I make everything a 4, then we're wasting these graphics, and I can't waste these graphics. So,
everything can't be. Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said everything can't be a 4. It's teaching you to feel different things, Ryan.
No, in my heart, it's still all 4. Now we have our 6-man match of Takeshita, Fletcher, and Strong versus O'Reilly, Briscoe, and Orange Cassidy.
AKA the conglomeration.
The conglomeration. This was what I would call typical 6-man chaos match. Like, just people everywhere, moves, series of moves here, series of moves there. Guy waits, guy gets knocked out, guy comes back. The winner is Takeshita, Fletcher, and Strong. with a pile driver from Fletcher on Briscoe, which is why I think Briscoe was even in the match, which really sucks. Post-match, Trent Beretta comes down and attacks Cassidy. O'Reilly gets attacked by the rest. Willow comes to make the save, but Chris Statlander knocks her out and then basically says, like, I'm going to send you to the ER next time. I enjoyed, listen, the match was great. I'm really bad. Like, first of all, I didn't know I was hosting. I might have taken different notes, but I'm hoping Kate's listening just for that line. But also, like, I've said it before, I'm very bad at picking moments in these matches because, like, you have diving DDTs and springboards, and Orange always does a couple crazy things, and Kyle Fletcher and O'Reilly are so, the two Kyles are just so insane that, like, each one's doing something different. And Mark Briscoe just can go all over the place, and it just was wild. So, Joe, what do you know? What did you think of the match?
Totally in agreement with you as far as just being a cluster bunny of a mess where you have, you know, six man teams kind of thrown together with people who don't usually work together. So very, very spot heavy with, you know, the back and forth maneuvers on each other. I have a couple of things I wrote down for our spots since you didn't take any notes on that, but
not supposed to.
That's fair. I like Takeshita using Orange Cassidy as a weapon when he had, like, you know, he caught him and just using his leg to hit people with. I thought the dragon screw by Kyle O'Reilly, that when he whipped, I think it might have been Takeshita's leg, when he whipped him, it also took out Fletcher. I thought there was some nice teamwork on the outside with coordinated offense from Briscoe and O'Reilly. And then I like the high-low that Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly hit. But my question is, where's Wardlow? I feel like he's been absent lately.
That's a good question. Wardlow. I mean, maybe they're trying to get him out of the story because he didn't really fit in with them. And if I don't know. That is a... That is a good question. I have to ask. I don't know who I'd ask, but we'll have to find out. So I think it was a solid... The match itself, I'm going to stick with my 3. It's a 3 out of 4 funners. Because it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And and I'm holding that because I think the main is going to get the remaining 4 out of 4 funds tonight. But it is definitely a solid 3 out of 4 funners. Do you agree with my assessment?
I do. I just because of the chaos and the people involved in the chaos. The format of the match may not always be for me, but of the wrestlers who are involved and the things that they can do, I give it a 3.
Fair enough. So we're on a 3 fun scale. Okay, we move on and we have... Phoenix is getting hyped up for his match with... Renee talking to him. They have Daniel saying that the Elite are going to have to do some title eliminator matches with no support. That's where we could get interesting with some of these teams coming in. Like Saturday might be the Elite versus Maximum Male Models, MXM. You know, it's eliminator. They bring them. Like, we'll see. We'll see where this is going. I have hope. Rebuilt a goddamn tag. Apparently, SRS doesn't know who LT asked. So there you go. No answers. Rebuild the tag division and the trios. Just rebuild them together. Let it happen. So we move on to Hook and Samoa Joe versus Premier Athlete Brand, Ari Daivari and Tony Nese. I guess, what's his name?
Josh Woods.
Josh Woods isn't around for some reason.
I don't know. Is he hurt?
Because he was advertised with them originally. Oh. Not tonight, but like
right.
When they first, their, the, they first did their promos. But whatever. So the match is, I was really hoping Kate was here for this, because I did mark down one spot specifically that I wanted to steal from her, which is, it was Hook versus Hook. You know, first Joe was in and Joe was Joe and he was dominating. And then you have Hook come in and it looks like maybe things are going to turn, and Hook does a walk away spot. he does the Joe walk away, but he kind of looks at Joe like there was an acknowledgement, like, I'm learning. Then Mark Sterling runs interference to stop Team Hook and Joe from winning, only to have Shibata come out and take out Sterling. So Joe won by Joe had a hook on Ari Daivari. They each had a submission on him. I'm really confused here. Hook.
I was laughing at the fact that Joe had a hook on him.
They won. Hook had the red rum on Daivari, but Joe also had a submission on at some point, and I just couldn't remember who it was on. Apparently she's taking care of doggo issues, or that's what she claims. I think she's out. She's just trying to Hollywood Kate. Team Ho won.
Hojo?
Hook and Joe. Ho. Or we could do, I don't, no, I'm not, something, it's not, but just Team Shook. Team Shook won. Samoa Joe and Hook. I like that. Team Shook won.
It also can be like Shibata. So yeah, it works.
Yeah. Oh, that does. So Team Shook won. This was for me. Let me see. Is there anywhere in here that you know what? No, because I stole the thing. This is my one fun of the night. One this fun. Is my oneer.
So one fun from Riot.
It was a healthy dose of fun, but it was a relatively quick match. I was missing Josh Woods because realistically he should be the one going with Shibata at that point, not Sterling. I love Hook doing the walk away, but that was about it. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going with a two. And I bumped it for a two just because of the pre-match as they're walking to the ring and Joe talking about everything other than the match itself. He's talking about why Taz wears orange, his thoughts about why he wears orange. You have Shibata running the camp. Phone testing, voice to text. That part right there before the match even started bumps it up a level for me. The match itself,
I may have gone with the one. Sorry, you cut out on me. I thought you were done talking. I apologize. Okay. I may have gone with the one just to see what the one picture was. I'm not gonna lie. But okay, that's fair. There's really not a lot that comes out of this, so there's not like a follow-up question to that. We then have Mercedes Moné. Well, you have Stephanie Vaquer cut a promo on Mercedes. And then you have Mercedes versus, I've heard him say it three times and I still can't. How does she pronounce her name? Sequis?
It's like Zeus. It's like Zeus, but then like a tilde over the I S. I don't know. So I'm not going to butcher someone's name.
You had a highly competitive match between the two, to be quite honest. I mean, they went back and forth. There was a fireman carry off the ropes. There was a Liger bomb. There was Herc Ramos. But really, to me, the match here is that she reversed out of what was it? Like she his her finisher, which I cannot remember the name of. What's her new finisher called?
I can't remember what it's called now. Jeez, I'm blanking.
Well, so Zacuse had Mercedes arms, and Mercedes reversed it into hitting her own finisher, which was really well done. The Moneymaker, I guess, is what it is. Is that what it is? I don't know. Yeah, Moné Maker. So it's the Moné Maker. Now, we've said in the past, the Moné Maker looks great once you get certain wrestlers. Other wrestlers went bigger. I wouldn't call Zacuse bigger, but not only did it look good, the reverse into it was excellent. So it was really good. What this is now a consistent. When Mercedes came in, the talk was there that, you know, what the hell are they doing? They weren't thrilled with her. They being certain fans weren't thrilled because she was just talking a lot and the promos are never her strongest suit. And it just felt like, what are we doing? She's here for 2 months. We haven't seen her wrestle. And you kind of started to see people start to fade on it. Now that she's wrestled a bunch, that has all disappeared. She's back to being like the best. So do you agree with that assessment? And then what'd you think of the match?
I do. I think my assessment of the match is having agreement with what you were saying about how Monet is very versatile for her background, her experience in wrestling. I thought this match really like highlighted how big she wrestles for someone her size. Like, you know, Zeus is a little bit bigger. She's not like, you know, a Willow size opponent for Mercedes, but she's still a relatively bigger opponent for Mercedes. And I feel like she matched her as far as striking ability and power. It's just kind of odd to see someone as small as Mercedes be able to still be able to strike with some of the larger opponents, similar to kind of like Mariah May. And Mariah May, no, she's pretty small, but she still has that, you know, almost a strong style approach to her move sets.
Agreed. And Mariah is a bit taller, I think, which does help her out. But you're right.
I did.
For me,
like,
this was
the move that I'm gonna butcher the name again. Zutis, where she had the double underhook into the, and she like, you know, landed that lung blower on Mercedes. I thought that was really nice. But yeah, she looked really good in this match against her.
So yeah, it was a very good. To me, it was a three fun match.
A three fun match. I think it was a lot of fun as well. So I'll go a three fun match.
Perfect. And then we get a Mina Shirakawa hype reel, which was a lot of fun. Mina's got a lot of personality. I mean, that comes across quite a lot. And if you got to watch her at her RJ City show, AEW, she got to show even more of it. So Mina's great. But then it cuts back to Tony Storm as Mariah May. And just as Renee's about to ask Tony about Mina coming next week or whatever, or about Mina's hype reel and all that, Mariah May interferes, thanks Tony for getting her to the Owen Hart, says, oh, but also I'm going to be there for the contract signing between you and Mina, but don't worry, I'll make sure everyone behaves. And then Tony has a match on Rampage. So not a whole lot there. I just love these interactions. I think they're great. I don't think there's enough there to rate on the fun scale.
No, I like the package that they, you know, showcased Mina in. It's one of those instances where I wish it would have shown this a couple weeks back, earlier when she came or when she arrived, you know, show it a week after or something. But
yeah, agreed. So we move on to the Learning Tree segment, where we have Big Bill come out, welcomes us, then Chris Jericho comes out, thanks the Branches that his shirt that just was released 15 minutes ago is already one of the top all-time sellers. Just love it. Love to see that happen. Good things for good people. Then talks about eating some local corn, but didn't think it was great because their pH was off and the soil wasn't right. And he thinks they need to fix that because Chris would know. He introduces a private party. They come out. He says, you guys are great. You're excellent, but you're not winning. And you're missing out on the fundamentals. Like, even the way you get to the top rope is wrong because they do it fancy-like. They said, well, can you show us how to – and he goes, I've been trained by Stu Hart. And kind of. And he goes, they're like, hey, can you teach us how to get to the top rope? So Jericho, such a good teacher, such a kind man, says, I'll show you. And he walks up the ropes one at a time, showing him, saying that's how Owen Hart taught him. And I don't know when he learned from Owen, but one at a time, he gets up, you know, shows him. And as he's at the top, Private Party knocks him down and they attack him. And then they attack Brian Keith and they attack Big Bill and they kick him out of the ring. And then obviously they run because they're not going to get a fight. So I have a couple thoughts on this. First of all, this is a 4 out of 4 fun. You might as well put that scale right. It's a 4 out of 4 fun. This is for me. Private Party getting into a nice little feud here. I know people don't big, but this is a featured feud. Whether you want to, this is featured for them, and they need a feature. Brian Keith getting plenty of time to talk. Well, I mean, 2 sentences, but it's more than he's been able to say previously. And I just love the fake teaching thing. I really dig it. It is a 4 out of 4. Joe, tell me why I'm right.
Well, Ryan, I'll tell you why I think it was a 1 out of 4 for me.
I'm shocked it even got that.
Well, I'm not going to say negative. I'm saying 1 because I'm in agreement with you about giving Private Party some spotlight and having them kind of be in a televised feud here. It's been a while since they've been on Dynamite, I feel like. So it's nice to kind of see them in meaningful matches. And I will say that Nebraska had Barry Corn in Iowa, so I understand that point. That's an ongoing contentious thing between the two states.
Does it really?
Yeah, we always go back. People go back and forth and argue about that all the time. It's a thing. Not a proud moment, but it's a moment.
Hey, you gotta have what you gotta have.
So, but yeah, the rest of the learning tree, like TV time stuff, like it's not my thing. It's just kind of a waste of time. That's why they probably put in that dead slot of a time they used to put all the women's matches in, but. Yeah, so I gave it a 1 out of 4 just for Private Party.
I mean, it's a 4, but I'll accept it. Then we come back from commercial. You have the Bang Bang Gang, which missing Jay White, so you cardboard Jay White. They cut a promo about the House of Black, saying they'll see them on Collision. Really fun stuff because Juice is just hilarious. He's insane. I don't think there's really much else to add to it. Just the juice is insane. Then we have Red Death, Daniel Garcia, or Nick Camarado. Very excited to see Nick Camarado back, a Philly boy. He'd have issues with the way you guys make fun of my accent. I don't think he'd say it to him. But he gets beat pretty soundly and quickly. This was kind of like almost squashy. Even though he's been on ROH, so I don't know. It seemed weird. But what was interesting was you had MJF watching Daniel Garcia. You had Will Ospreay watching Daniel Garcia. Very, very interesting. People are watching Daniel Garcia. I found this to be a two, one. Well, the match itself was a 1 funner, but I liked the watching, and the watching made it a 2 funner. So this is a 2 funner for me.
A 2 funner for the watching.
Yes.
Is it 1 fun for each person watching?
Well, no, the match was a 1 fun, and then it was 1 fun for the watching. So it's the two together equal 2 fun.
I will, let's see. I'll stay with a 2 just because of the people involved in the match and the fact that it was Camarado who got on Dynamite, which I feel like it's been a while since he'd been on Dynamite.
Poor Nikki Combs.
I saw him in the ROH taping on Saturday, so it was nice to see him. But I think I was wondering when they're going to do this whole international title thing since he challenged Ospreay for it. And obviously Ospreay's dance card is kind of full right now with, going against Swerve here and everything else. So I wonder when they're going to have that match. And then if they have MJF in part of it, are they going to do a 3-way match or what's going to happen? So.
Yeah, that's, but I just think it's interesting that the Daniel Garcia is now the guy everyone's watching. Well, not everyone, but like the two guys are two of your biggest are watching. Jesse Ozog, what do you mean? Did I share my opinion on this? What are you talking about? Did Ryan even share this opinion? What opinion? Nick Camarado's face was shaved, but the rest of his body was not shaved. The rest of his body was quite hairy. But yeah, I like I said, this was a two-funner. Pac cuts a promo saying he's entering into the Owen Cup. Man, this Owen Cup is getting stacked. Stacks on stacks on stacks on stacks. So I'm excited for that. Also, what's his name? Cut a promo that he sent in a video. Oh, well, sorry, Jesse. You're wrong in your non-support of the learning tree.
Talking about Pac?
Yeah, well, no. Who else? The guy from New Japan sent in a video saying he was going to be entering. Shingo Takagi? Is that who it was?
Yeah. I was thinking Naito, but not Naito. Pac agreed about something else.
No, Naito sent in a video to because he's going against Naito was brought up because he's going against
Moxley. What's his name?
Moxley. Yeah, with Shingo. So you're okay. Gonna have the Japanese Dragon, you have the American Dragon in the tournament. As I pointed out on Twitter tonight, Warner Brothers likes to hype up House of the Dragon. And that's two dragons fighting. Two dragons again, just saying. Getting along with dragons on dragons. Dragons on dragons on dragons. So we go to the main event of Will Ospreay. What'd you say?
So he's not there anymore, though.
No, but I can still say it. Rey Fénix versus Will Ospreay for the International Championship. I mean, dear God. These two, just because there's a clip going around. I mean, it was huge when it happened, and they clipped it instantly, where Ospreay's up on the top rope, and Fénix has like his feet on the middle rope. Yes, this is 100% a 4 out of 4. Oh my God, I just hit my hip heel. And Fénix jumps up, hits the top rope, and then immediately goes into a Hurricanrana, and then Ospreay lands on his feet. It was just like, what are we doing here? Like, how? There was a frog splash. There's a Frank Steiner. I mean, I don't want to, like, again, I'm not great at calling out moves, especially these because I don't know the name of them. There's just a lot of high flying moves. These two had great chemistry, but the cool part was towards the end of the match. Oh, I should point out Swerve is watching from the crowd the whole match. Well, wouldn't you know? The Will Ospreay hits a hidden blade, but he's not ready to beat Fénix yet. He can't. So he goes up to the top rope and he hits a Swerve stomp in front of Swerve. Then he hits the hidden blade again and pins him. I mean, look at that. That is some. I'm just hyping up, but no, I really think it's cool when, like, that's like such a small but fun dig at, like, I'm doing your move. And I'm doing it awesome. And I'm everything I did to LT point to all the reversals. I mean, that's why I can't, like, I'm very bad at this. If you want people who actually know the moves, I'm not the guy. I could just tell you that the story was two super athletic people who just kept, they kept finding ways out of things. They kept finding another. Nothing went as planned, I guess, is the way I want to say it. In terms of kayfabe, obviously the match went as planned, but in terms of kayfabe, nothing went as planned for the rematch. Every time someone tried something, the other guy pulled out some ridiculous move and got out of it. And it just kept happening. And I loved that. I think Rey Fénix, even though he lost, comes out looking awesome. Will Ospreay as well. Ospreay, a little primer. If we ever get Ricochet over here, what kind of matches can we have in? After the match, Strickland comes into the ring. Will Ospreay goes to shake his hand, but then Strickland calls him an immature child, says he's not, it's just not for him. He's not strong enough. He can't have both belts. But then somehow, Ospreay ends up with both belts. Not sure how that happened. But Swerve basically is like, you're lucky I like you, or I would really hurt you. So obviously I think this is a 4 on the 4 on the fun scale. Joe, you seem to be matching my fun scaleness. What is your analysis on the match?
Definitely a 4 for this one, just because I kind of had my mind made up when they announced the match. So, and it lived up to what I thought it was going to be. You know, having not faced each other yet in AEW, but, you know, having that familiarity outside of AEW, I think that helps. And then kind of like what you were talking about with the counters and the reversals, this whole match just felt like, you know, 95 mile per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone. And it felt like the, like, almost like a shadow boxing of, you're, you know, one person trying to do something and they can't, it's, you know, they can't pull ahead because the other person's toe to toe with them and keeping pace. So,
yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Yes.
Yeah. It just felt like, yeah, it felt like shadow boxing to me. And I think, it was a fun match. And, like, you know, the winner was always going to be Ospreay, obviously. So the outcome's always kind of known, but how to get there is the fun part. And I think after the match with, you know, Swerve and his interaction, I kind of like what Swerve's doing. I like that Swerve's trying to pull out the more aggressive side of Ospreay, and instead of this plucky, happy-go-lucky, I'm so happy to be an AEW full-time babyface that he is. Like, I like the Ospreay with a little bit more edge.
Agreed. A couple things. Tony Hayes asking, why was Swerve wearing a fur coat in Iowa tonight? It was hot today. Because Swerve is that guy. Doesn't matter. Style over, you know, he could take the heat because he's that stylish. I'm also hoping the building was air conditioned. The second question I have, not the second question, is Kate, if you're still in the chat, can you tell us what you thought of the Jericho Learning Tree segment? Yes, I'm feeding it so Kate can see the specific fun scale created for her. TMDK is on Collision. Kate must be thrilled. Another tag team. My God, just so many tag teams. Tag, 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 tag. Yeah, exactly, Tony. Like Dusty and Magnum wearing those fur coats back in the day. Sometimes you just got to look fancy and show that you were above your bodily needs and you can suffer. So Kate, I think, rated it a no fun. Joe, what's the no fun?
No fun. Made specifically for Kate.
So Kate, this is this was made for you.
It's made for her when it's not for her.
Mm-hmm. Cause that's even her saying. So I really wanted her to see that. All right. So that is our Collision. Overall, I'm going to say this is a 4 out of 4 night for me, Joe. And not Collision, Dynamite. Sorry, she said TMDK and Collision. But anytime I can get multiple fours, it's a 4 out of 4 night for me. This was a good one. What would you fund this up as?
Well, Ryan, I'm a little bit more conservative in my funds. I am financially conservative. Is that right? Financially.
Okay, I got it.
I'm working here, okay? My conglomeration is working. I'm gonna go with a 3.
So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's more like maybe the lower end of a 3.
I can support that. I can support that. All right. So Joe, when you're not here giving me awesome fun graphics, where can people find you?
Well, Ryan, you can find me occasionally on Saturday nights when we do ChoirCast. Maybe we'll do very one this occasionally. Week. Otherwise, you can find me on social media at _AsianJoe. And then in my bio on my social media, you can find a link to my serial review blog. So feel free to check that out if you want to read about some random novelty sugary cereal.
Okay. You guys can find me on all our socials at MarkOrderPod. You won't find me Saturday. I'll explain to Joe. I got some stuff. Actually, for the next 2 weeks, I'm probably not going to be around much. I am house sitting for a family member, making it extremely difficult for me to, you know, video. So we'll figure stuff out. But
I was going to make a joke there. Sorry. I was thinking, I lost my moment though. You said house sitting. I was going to make a Yo Mama joke of, you know, around the house.
That's a good Yo Mama joke. It's a classic.
I know.
But follow me on all socials at Mark Order Pod, or follow my history blog here for history.com @_HereForHistory. And we'd like to thank our chat, Jesse Ozog, Tony Hayes, 2LT Photos, Scott George, Pieces. Hold on, there's more. Big G, Kylie. I'm really bad. I always forget someone, but Tim McFall, So anyone I miss, I apologize, but thank you all for showing up. It's like I always say, it's a lot more fun when you guys are here and chatting and telling me the name of things that I can't remember, because that's just how my brain works. Jesse, don't make you, now that Kate's here, I got to hate you again. This is not fun. So this is where I put the outro overlay on, just to say, screw you guys. I'm going home. I'm already home, but so what? Goodbye.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program.